Shalom again. Oh, you speak Hebrew. Good, we're on our way. Well, yeah, it's interesting that Jewish people now are believing in Yeshua, Jesus, because when I met these Mexicans, I might have told you this testimony again, but how I came to the Lord was I was a Jewish hippie hitchhiking in Mexico down to Brazil and looking for magic mushrooms, you know. And when I got to this place where they grow them, I met these three Mexicans who were just so nice. They offered me coffee, and I thought they could tell me where the magic mushrooms were, you know. And so they asked me what I'm doing. I said, oh, I'm hitchhiking to Brazil. Oh, do you need a place to spend the night? You know, hitchhiking, you always need a place to spend the night. I said, yeah. I said, okay. While we're eating dinner, one of them asks me, Hanan, do you believe in Jesus? I said, I'm Jewish. He said, oh, well, we believe in your Messiah. My Messiah? Who's my Messiah? They said, Jesus. I said, why is he my Messiah? He's described in your Bible. My Bible? You mean the Old Testament? Which I knew is considered the Jewish Bible, so to speak, you know, and the new, the Christian. He says, yes. I say, no way. Because when I took Hebrew school as a kid, the rabbi never talked about that. So he turns to, guess what, chapter in Isaiah 53, and he starts to read. Someone was going to come to do something special for Israel. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our transgressions. By his stripes we are healed. And he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. What? That's in there? I thought he wasn't translating it right from his Spanish Bible. So I went and found an English Bible at a store in town there. And it was true. It was right there. And then I said, well, let me see what this New Testament is about. Because they would get excited. They'd read the New Testament while they're eating. And I wouldn't understand because it's in Spanish, you know. But they get excited about it. I said, these guys are so nice. How could they get excited about something that I grew up to believe it? The New Testament was anti-Semitic. And so I got the New Testament. I started reading it. Jesus was Jewish? I thought he was Catholic. You know, that's just what I grew up. And then he celebrated all the Jewish holidays. It says Passover, you know, Feast of Tabernacles, and even Hanukkah. Yeah, yeah. It's called the Feast of Dedication, it says. Wow. And then just the words that he said, the love that he had, how he blessed people and forgave people. I said, now I know why these guys loved this, these Mexicans. And I accept him as my Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And there was a revival of Jewish people. It was the Jesus People movement. This was in the early 70s. And I met others. I thought I was the only Jewish one who accepted Yeshua, Jesus. But then I started meeting. There was a revival. And so we started having our own congregations. Not Jewish people, Jewish and Gentile, but one. We're one now in the Lord. Isn't that great that we are one? Hallelujah. And the world could see that, and it's a testimony to them that Jew and Gentile love each other and are one. Hallelujah. Anyways, I just wanted to, you know, what's coming up in a couple of days is Rosh Hashanah. That's the Jewish New Year. And what do we do on Rosh Hashanah to invite the new year? We blow the shofar. It's a ram's horn. So I thought I could do that for you as we do that in our synagogue. We're going to have on Wednesday, Thursday, the service. And, of course, there's 11 reasons why we blow the shofar, but I'm not going to tell you all the 11 reasons. But I'll give you a couple. One is that it's the announcement of the king, you know, of the world, you know, Yeshua and God. So we, when a king is welcomed, we blow the shofar, you know, announce it. Another reason is I liked is that you remember Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, and but you know, God spared. I mean, God saw the test that Abraham passed, that he was willing to do that. And he said, oh no, you know what? Go and get a ram and sacrifice that. He offered a ram, and this is a ram's horn. So that's another reason.
Get ready, Ryan.
Okay, King, you can come in now. Hallelujah. Well, you know, let's just pray. Father God, I just ask for your anointing, Lord God. You speak through your son, Lord God. Speak through me, Father God. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. You all know that Yeshua now, you know, was Jewish, and so were all his disciples and his first followers. It seems today that many have forgotten this. Not you here, but with the rise of anti-Semitism, many have. Later on, his disciples realized that the gift of salvation was also for the Gentiles, for all who believed. When God was preparing his plan of salvation, he chose not the most numerous peoples, lest it seem by human might, not the most militarily or educationally advanced, lest it seem by human wisdom. For Israel was born out of a generation of slaves. When God called Abraham to become the father of the Jewish people, he made them a promise in Genesis 12, 2-3. He said, my heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great, so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The two words for curse here actually have different meanings in Hebrew. Whoever curses you, when it says whoever curses you, the word is mekalecha, meaning as whoever esteems you lightly, I will curse. Achor, that's the other word. This promise continues to Jacob. So I'd like to read what the promise was to Jacob. If you'd like to turn, you may. To Genesis 28, verse 14. So he says to Jacob, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So this promise was just handed down continually to the Jewish people. And we know that from the Jewish people came the Savior of the world, our Holy Bible, the most widely read book in the world. Yes, very important inventions, like the cell phone, the laser, the pacemakers, stainless steel, the cholera and polio vaccinations, insulin for diabetes, the endoscopy, which is the tiniest medicinal video camera used inside the body, the tuberculosis drug, and also Google. I didn't know that. Of over 900 Nobel Prizes that have been awarded, at least 20% were Jews, who make up less than 2% of the world's population. And And Yeshua said in John 4:22, salvation is from the Jews. Not that they're better than anybody else's. It's just that God invested this in these people. And then we also have the feasts. In Hebrew, the Moedim, the appointed times. In Leviticus 23, the Lord commanded the children of Israel to celebrate seven feasts to remind them of God's faithfulness. And that's why it's important to celebrate feasts, to remember. Yeshua did not come to abolish the commandments, but he came to fulfill them. Yes, as we can read in Matthew 5:17. Okay, so this is what he said. Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Mm-hmm. And so, the first four spring feasts, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost, were fulfilled by Yeshua. The final three fall feasts, trumpets, that's the day of the new year, the civil new year, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles has yet to be fulfilled by Yeshua. So I'll be calling him Yeshua, if that's okay. And now, in Romans 10:4, it says that the Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness. But actually, the word is not the end. It's actually the goal of the law. He's the goal of the law. My friend, Pastor Dick Bildick, is writing a book called Israel, A Nation Fulfilling Prophecy. He wrote why it seems that God loved Israel more than other nations. He basically said to picture a classroom of students where the teacher randomly chooses one student to show them all how to be blessed. And the name of the student he chooses is Israel, and tells him, if you do what I tell you, you will be so blessed in every way. I want you to show the other students how to be blessed. I will give you special instructions, and you are to share these with the other students. I will give you special privileges and gifts, and I'll do the same for any other student that follows my ways. If they give me a reason to bless them, I will bless them. And God chose one man, Abraham, and promised him a people, a purpose, a place, and in perpetuity. And though God had to discipline them twice by exiling them from Israel, his promise to restore them remained. God said in Jeremiah 31, let's turn to it, verse 35. Here's what he said. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. Yeah, it's God's word that we're still here. It's a miracle of all that's happened to the Jewish people in history. Yes. Oh, I just wanted to read. Well, we don't have to read to it, but in Genesis 15, 18, it says that God promised the Jewish people a land, and its borders were to extend from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. That's the biblical promise he gave to them. But Satan has always tried to destroy Israel and the Jewish people, even to this day. Why? To nullify God and his word. Yeah, he hates the Jewish people because from them came the Savior of the world who thwarted his plan to bring about eternal damnation. Nations rose and fell according to the relationship they had with this tiny but chosen nation. Just like to read Psalm 105, if you want to turn to it. Start with verse 8. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. Let's read just a couple more. When they were only a few men in number, very few and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to oppress them. He reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. And who are those nations that had consequences according to how they treated Israel? If you know, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, even the Romans. In a book called The Jew and Palestine in Prophecy by M.R. Dahan, he had a little kind of poem that he said about this. About Israel. Pharaoh couldn't drown them. Nebuchadnezzar could not burn them. The lions could not eat them. The whale could not digest them. And Haman could not hang them. Do you remember how Haman, he planned to destroy all the Jewish people, but God didn't allow that. Other countries later on were that had consequences the way they treated Israel. Spain, with the Spanish Inquisition. Germany, Britain, the Inquisitions, the Crusaders, and the Jewish immigration quotas. People think that God, some people think that God has rejected the Jewish people. Look at Paul's heart for his Jewish people. Do you want to turn to Romans 9? Let's start at verse 1, go to 5. For I am telling you the truth in Messiah. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Messiah, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Messiah according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Yes. And then let's look at the next chapter, 10, verse 1. My brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is there for their salvation. That was Paul's heart. He was willing to give up his own salvation for the salvation of his Jewish people. And then I'd like to look at, well, let's look at Romans, the next chapter, Romans 11, verse 1 and 2. He says, I say then, has God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. For I, too, am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. And let's finally look at verse 11 and 12. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. And that's exactly what happened to me with these Mexicans. Just the love and, you know, the peace and the joy that they had. I just had not experienced that. And they never led me to the magic mushrooms. So, in fact... I think I don't know if I told you this, but what happened? I asked them about the magic mushrooms, and they said, oh no, you don't want to take magic mushrooms. We had a friend who took it and thought he could fly and jumped off a cliff. And that was the end of him. Well, I didn't need the magic mushrooms anymore. But I didn't need it anyways, because now I have the Lord. So I was finished with my hitchhiking, my hippie time, and I just served the Lord after that. Yeah, so praise God. Let's, did I read 12 there? Verse 12. It says in verse 12, now if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Praise the Lord. God wants to use the Jewish people. You know, he hasn't rejected them. He says that one day all Israel shall be saved. That's a future, you know, prophecy. God called Israel in Zechariah 2:8 the apple of his eye. He has not rejected us. In 1543, Martin Luther wrote a book called On the Jews and Their Lies. You know, Martin Luther did some good things by the Reformation, right? You know? But unfortunately, he didn't really understand God's word. He said, what shall we Christians do with this rejected and condemned people, the Jews? I shall give you my sincere advice. First, to set their synagogues on fire in honor of the Lord and of Christendom, so that God might see we are Christians. I advise that their houses also be destroyed. I advise that their prayer books and Talmudic writings, Talmud is the commentary that Jews, the Orthodox Jews put on the Bible, and some of it is good, but some of it is misunderstood. So, I advise that their prayer books and Talmudic writings be taken from them. I advise that their rabbis be forbidden to teach henceforth on pain of loss of life and limbs, and kick them out from everywhere. Kick the Jewish people out from everywhere. Hitler quoted in his book, Mein Kampf, that Luther was one of the great heroes of the German people. The biased media tells us that Israel is mistreating their Arab citizens. They're lies. Arabs come from surrounding countries to get medical help from Israel. And yet throughout all history, no other group has been more persecuted than the Jewish people. Yep. It's a letter from a Messianic rabbi, Jonathan Bernus. He called Prophecy in Today's Headlines. He states, the book of Esther tells of a concerted effort to annihilate the Jewish people in the Persian Empire in the 5th century BC, as I mentioned before. In the Middle Ages, European church authorities blamed Jewish people for killing Yeshua and even for spreading the bubonic plague, for spreading the Black Death, and which led to widespread persecution of the Jewish people and murder. Jewish people repeatedly have been forcibly expelled from European countries. From France in the 12th to 14th centuries, from England in the 13th century, and from Spain and Portugal in the 15th and 16th centuries. Russian anti-Semitism denied even basic human rights to Jewish people for centuries. Yes. Russian anti-Semitism denied even basic human rights to Jewish people for centuries, leading to genocide in the 1800s and the forced mass migration of Jewish people out of Russia and into Western Europe and America. You know, my ancestors ended up from Israel when Israel was exiled, you know, in the 70 AD. They ended up in Romania. And that's where my parents were from. The Nazi Holocaust forced Jewish families into ghettos, then herded them onto trains bound for work and extermination camps. I'm sure you know this. There, they were starved, tortured, worked to death, or executed. In all, the Nazis murdered, I'm sure you know, about 6 million Jews, which made up 63% of the Jews in Europe. A man named Constantine in AD 272 to 337 is often called a hero of the Christian faith because as the emperor of the Roman Empire, he legally banned the persecution of Christians, but he didn't stop there. He also legalized a growing division between Jews and Christians that laid the foundation for nearly 2,000 years of anti-Semitism. It was not Yeshua or the first Jewish apostles who started a new religion called Christianity. Yeshua came, died, and rose from the grave as the fulfillment of the Jewish laws and the Jewish prophets. It was early Greek and Roman leaders who created a growing chasm between Judaism and the new sect called Christianity. The faith of the Jewish and Gentile followers of Yeshua was originally called the Way. And for the first 300 years of, quote, Christianity, the Gentile followers of Yeshua kept the Passover. There was no celebration of Easter or Christmas then. But it's good to celebrate all these holidays to remember, right, what he did for us. And now, brothers and sisters, anti-Semitism, as you know, is on the rise greatly. In 2018, 11 Jews were killed in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, which was unprecedented, well, since the Holocaust. In 2020, there were 2,024 incidents of assault, harassment, and vandalism reported. In the past year, we have seen these attacks. In Skokie, Illinois, it was a shattered window at a synagogue. In Florida, it was four men yelling, "Die, Jew!" at a man with a skull cap, then threatening to rape his wife and daughter. And in Manhattan, it was a group of people attacking a Jewish man in the middle of the street in broad daylight. From California to New York, a wave of anti-Semitic attacks has broken out in communities since the recent attacks on Hamas, or recent defense from Hamas, which is a Palestinian terrorist group. Hikers in Colorado Springs found anti-Semitic graffiti at the High Chaparral, High Chaparral open space. The graffiti included swastikas and an image of Adolf Hitler. Brothers and sisters, some ways to support Israel and the Jewish people. Well, speak up if you hear anti-Semitic or anti-Israel talk. God will bless you. Write to your congressman or senator that you are not happy about the rise in anti-Semitism and of its recent offenses. The way Hitler was able to exterminate the Jewish people was that he convinced the Germans that the Jewish people were subhuman. When we're experiencing that, today, since the attack on October 7th on Israel from Gaza, from Hamas, 1,200 Israelis were killed on that day. That hasn't happened since the Holocaust. And then 251 hostages were taken, and they were, a lot of them were killed, decapitated, raped, even babies. That this happened. So someone said, someone said, if you want proof that God exists, look at the nation of Israel. This was a land that was dispersed for 2,000 years. They had no land for 2,000 years, no government, no army, no language, no temple. They were persecuted wherever they were. 2/3 perished in the Holocaust. And yet, the dream of 2,000 years never died. In Isaiah 66:8, it says that it prophesies about. Here, let's look at that for a minute. Isaiah 66:8. Okay, 66. Says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? Yeah, 1948 is the only time they've ever heard of a nation being born in one day, when it was pronounced in 1948. And not only that, but I don't remember where the other part is, but it says, the pure language is going to be restored. And Hebrew, which wasn't talked for 2,000 years, the original language was brought back. That has never happened in history in any other country, that this has happened. But it is the original language, and even before Yeshua, because by the time he got around, the talking language was Aramaic. So Hebrew wasn't even talked then. It was still in the scriptures, in their, you know, Bibles and you know, scrolls and things. But it hadn't been talked. But God said the pure language is going to return, and it did. And now you know some Hebrew, shalom, you know, that's... yes, we have been hearing and seeing the news of Israel's strike on Hamas in Gaza, and the whole world got in an uproar because we tried to defend ourselves. Since giving Gaza to the Palestinians, Hamas has sent over 8,000 rockets into southern Israel, causing death and destruction. And up until October 7th, Israel didn't really retaliate much. They just, you know, just kind of kept with it and hoped that they would stop doing this. But they couldn't stop after October 7th. They had to defend themselves. Otherwise, you know, they're just going to be destroyed. So each time Israel tried to defend itself from being attacked, they are portrayed as offenders. It's not a matter of the Palestinians having a homeland, but of the governing body in Gaza, Hamas, having vowed to run Israel off the land. Giving up of land promised by God to Israel has not produced good results. Unless one understands God's plan for Israel, one can only see with natural eyes. You know, there's been protests, anti-Israel protests. I'm sure you know, you've seen them here and all over the world. Israel has become a target, you know, for the protests. Even in our congregation, Beth Yeshua, one time before a meeting, about 5-6 protesters, anti-Israel protesters, came on to close to the property with signs that Israel is a terrorist nation. You know, we got to stand for the Palestinians and not against Israel. They are a terrorist organization, and we have to call the police to get them off our property. And we have to have security. We have to hire 2 security guards when we have our services, so that, you know, we're protected. Because a lot of synagogues now have these protests coming in. We don't know what could happen. Yeah. And so, yeah, Israel said it would pause its attack on Hamas, yeah, if they would let the hostages go, but they're not doing that. And the U.S. has sometimes put pressure on Israel to pause its going into Gaza to defeat Hamas, but they're not willing to do that, to say they're going to give up the hostages if we cease fire. I'm concerned for my family in Israel. I've got, you know, 4 cousins and one sister-in-law. Thank God they're okay. You know, they're not close to the south or to the north. But I am concerned for them. As Rabbi Joe Bell says, one thing we know, that God, the God of Israel, lives, and his son is the King of the Jews, who will come to reign on King David's throne for 1,000 years. So I'd like to give a little of a more recent update. On August 6th, Iran threatened to attack Israel for killing a Hezbollah leader and blaming them for the killing of a Hamas leader, Ismail Haniyeh, a leader of Hamas. Iran has immensely supported Hamas and Hezbollah, which is the terrorist attackers from Lebanon. Because of Hezbollah's attacks, over 60,000 northern Israeli residents have left their homes to become refugees in their own countries. And thank God for Israel's Iron Dome defense, which intercepted 99% of Iran's last 300 air missile attacks. Hopefully this will continue if there are other attacks. And there have been other attacks, because I'm reading this from August 6th. Many, I don't know if you know this, but many Iranians are against the Iranian regime and support Israel. Let's pray that their voices will be heard. And we thank God that the U.S. has sent help to Israel in warships and fighter jets. Yes. The world has turned against the nation that has benefited the world with its innovations, humanitarian aid, and medical discoveries. On October 7th, when Hamas killed over 1,200 Israelis, Israel decided not to retaliate. Hamas took 251 hostages, where almost half have been killed. As Israel is trying to defend itself, many are accusing it of genocide. Since October 7th, there have been worldwide anti-Israel protests, as I had mentioned. You know, even in in colleges, there have been anti-Israel protests. I'm sure you know, Columbia, Harvard, many, many colleges, there have been, they've let the administrators, for some reason, have let these anti-Israel protesters come. And Jewish students have had to hide because they felt threatened. And the way they were looked at. And so that is a concern. We have to pray that the administrators would not allow this to happen. Eventually, they did kick them out, but they did let them on for a time enough to have the Jewish students feel threatened. Yeah. Lebanon has to realize that they need not support Hezbollah. And so Israel's amazing technology has been able to blow up Lebanese pagers and walkie-talkies. I don't know how they did that, but it's just how the technology that God gave to Israel to be able to protect themselves. We pray this would cause Lebanon to be against Hezbollah and to render them powerless, because they're letting them do this. And so they have to stop doing this so that this Hezbollah would stop attacking and sending all these rockets into Israel, so that at least the residents who left could start returning back. Can you imagine 60,000 residents in northern Israel? I thank God my sister-in-law lives in the north, only not close enough to where she feels she has to leave. But you never know what they can start doing. And so we just need to pray, even here for the Jewish people, because all these things, are happening here. A lot of us now, when we leave the synagogues, we take off our kippahs because we don't want to feel threatened. And we just need to pray for protection for the Jewish people at this time, and for the, release of the hostages, because the many of them are being killed there. But you know, God is Israel's protector, and he's keeping them with their technology from any more being killed right now, at least outside the hostages. We don't know what they're doing with that. But with all these bombs from Iran, from Hezbollah, Israel has been able to intercept all those bombs with their technology, which God has given them. And so I'd like to pray for us to pray for Israel, if that's okay. Dear Father, Lord, Israel is your land. You gave them this land, Lord God, as your chosen people, Lord God, because you, as the student we read about that was sending good news and telling the people how they're to be blessed, you gave Israelites the ways to be blessed through your commandments, Lord. Though we're not saved by your commandments, but we're blessed by following your commandments, Lord God. As you said, you didn't come to destroy the commandments, but you are the fulfillment. Through you, we want to do God's commandments, even though we know we're saved only by your death on the cross, Lord, by your sacrifice that you did for us, Lord. Thank you, first of all, for your sacrifice that you did, that we are saved and have eternal life, Lord. And so, but we pray for Israel, Lord, right now, that you would defend it, that you would release the hostages, and that you would continue to give Israel the technology and the ability to defend itself and to be able to eliminate Hamas. Lord, God, you're not against, you don't want to see the death of anybody, Lord God. You love the Arab people, Lord, the Palestinians. But you also have consequences for disobedience, Lord. And we just pray that you would be able to have Hamas just eliminated. Not the people, but the organization. And the same thing with Hezbollah. The organization would stop, Lord, and Iran would stop, and all these other nations like Syria and all, and the Houthis from Yemen, Lord God, you've been able to protect Israel from them, Lord. And it's a miracle, Lord God, that Israel is still here, and that that the Jewish people are still here. This has happened to no other peoples that have been exiled or abandoned, and you brought us back to your land, because this is your land, Lord, and you promised to keep it forever, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, and we just pray for protection for all Jewish people, and that we would be able to bless the Jewish people, Lord God, with salvation, because you said to the Jew first, when you talked about salvation, Lord God. And so not that they're better, Lord God, but because of what they've given the world, Lord, the Savior, that we want to bless the Jewish people with salvation. So give us all opportunities to share the good news of the gospel with Jewish people. And we thank you and we praise you. And we ask these things in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. I'd like to bless you all with the Aaronic benediction before I close. But you know what? I'm gonna need a drink of water.
Yevarech echa Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yechonecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. By the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.